Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Ches. And we're holding at the top of the Amud, and specifically, five lines from the top. The Gemara tells us about a very, very interesting minhag of Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara tells us, Rav Sheshes have a Yosef B'Tanisa Kol Ma'ale Yoyme De Pischo. Rav Sheshes used to fast every Erev Pesach. Toysen at the top says that when he fasted, lav dafka, he mamish fasted, but it meant that he was very, very careful about what he consumed, meaning only to consume very, very minor amounts. Or, Toysen says, maybe Hitaka fasted a real fast day, because he wanted to be very cautious when it comes to Hilchos Pesach. Now, the obvious question is, what is this inyan about fasting the whole day on Erev Pesach all about? If you recall, yesterday we had a shaila. Said in the beginning of our perek, Arvei Pesachim Samach LeMincha, people should refrain from doing malacha starting from Samach LeMincha. And the Gemara asked, what's the definition of Samach LeMincha? Are we referring to Mincha Gedoyla or Mincha Ketana? If we're referring to Mincha Gedoyla, Mincha Gedoyla would be approximately 12:30. Samach LeMincha would mean 12 o'clock. And if we're talking about Mincha Ketana, Mincha Ketana would be at 3:30. Samach LeMincha would be at 3 o'clock. So are we talking about from 12, or are we talking about from 3? And the Gemara said, what would be the reason why one should refrain eating at 12 or at 3? So the Gemara says that vis-a-vis the 12 o'clock is because I'm afraid if a person's going to start sitting down for a meal at 12 o'clock, the meal might get extended. They may say a lot of Torah. They may, in fact, drink a little bit. It might be an 8-course meal. By the time they're finished, they'll realize, uh-oh, we forgot to bring the Korban Pesach. And since the earliest you could possibly bring, theoretically, would be at 12:30, they said, you know what, starting from 12 o'clock, don't have a meal. That was if you hold Samach LeMincha Gedoyla. And if you hold Samach LeMincha Ketana, Mincha Ketana starts at 3:30. And my concern is that if you're going to have a meal from 3 o'clock and further, you're going to lose appetite for eating the matzah mitzvah at night, and it's going to become an achila gasa. And therefore the Gemara said, that's why you should stop eating after 3, so when you eat at night, it should be l'teyovoin, with a geshmak, that you're eating matzah mitzvah. Rav Sheshes, the Gemara believes, perhaps holds like the first view. And therefore, if he holds like the first view, Samach LeMincha Gedoyla, one should stop eating after 12. Why was Rav Sheshes machmir to start all the way from the wee hours of the morning, that it says that even the entire day? Let us assume that the reason why is, thank you very much, is because Rav Sheshes held like the first view, that it's Mincha Gedoyla, and it's because of the Korban Pesach, that I'm afraid Dilma Mimshech Va'osi Limnuye Melamed Bar Pischehu, that he's afraid that if one starts eating a meal at 12 o'clock, you know what might happen? You might be Mamshech in the Suda. In other words, you'll extend your meal beyond control. They'll be talking a lot, singing a lot, saying Torah a lot. Thank you. Preparing for the Seder night, everybody's going to be saying pre-Seder Torah, Manishtana, Avodah Mayinu, etc., etc. It'll be Nimshach, and then V'osi Lemnuyim Mamleb B'Pitzchi is going to forget to go and bring the Korban Pesach. Now you're saying to yourself, okay, so let Rav Sheshes stop eating at 12. Why did he have to stop eating early in the morning that he was fasting? Wow. We bring here B'Shem Ben Beseira. The Beseira holds that Pesach Sheshchotoi Shachris Barbo Osar. What happens if you didn't wait until the afternoon to bring the Korban Pesach? You brought the Korban Pesach in the morning. Zrizin Makdimin. We would normally say it's possible. It's got to be brought Beinu Arboim. Guess what? Ben Becerra respectfully disagrees. And he holds that you can bring already the Karban Pesach already in the morning. Tosis says, not lechatchila, but b'diavad you can bring it in the morning. What is this based on? The Gemara is, the entire day you can go and bring the Karban Pesach. The Sover Bein Harboim, Bein Erev, the Esmali, Erev, the Ho'idna. Whenever we speak about the fact that you bring the Karban Pesach, Bein Harboim, we assume Bein Harboim means starting from 12 down to 6. Why is that considered to be Erev? Because Erev means from the moment that the sun is already on its descending motion towards sun setting. We know that sun sets at the time of Shkia, then it becomes Erev, then it becomes night. But when does the sun begin its setting motion? Not in the morning. In the morning it's in its rising motion, it's going up. But after 12, it's starting to set, it's starting to go down. So that's why we call that Bein Harboim. However, says Ben Beseira, Bein Harboim could have a different interpretation. Since Erev means night, it could mean between last night and tonight, meaning on Erev Pesach, starting from last night and until tonight, that period in between, that's the Bein Harboim. So it doesn't mean that you can go and bring a Karban Pesach at night, because at night the Beis HaMikdash is closed and you can't bring any Karbanos. And then the Gemara brings Psukim of Beyoim anyway. But you don't need to come on to that, because Bein Harboim means between one night and the other night. So the first night that we're talking about is Leil Yudalid, that's Bedikas Chometz night. The next night that we're talking about is Leil Tezvav, that's Seder night. So in the daylight period, between one night and the other night, you can bring the Karban Pesach that entire period of time. That being the case, since Rav Sheshes was choishish to that shita of Ben Beseira, that one could bring the Karban Pesach already in the morning, he says, oy bazoy, that I should refrain from eating already in the morning, to Makayim that shita as well.
Why wouldn't he hold to eat, or should stop eating the night before?
Because the night before you cannot bring the Karban Pesach. You can only bring the Karban Pesach starting in the morning. So starting from the morning, that's when he stopped eating. Zokti Gemara, the Sovar Bein Harboim Bein Erev, the small Erev, the Idna, and the Choyra, that's a Raya then, that when it said in the Mishnah yesterday, Samach L'mincha, he doesn't mean Samach L'mincha Ketana, he means Samach L'mincha Gedoyla. The Choyra can be poished from this Minhag of Rav Sheshes. No, that's not the answer. Shani Rav Sheshes to Istanis Hava. Rav Sheshes was a very delicate, very fine individual. And the word Istanis could also be defined as kind of a finicky individual. The Itoyim Bitsafra, if he would eat anything in the morning, midi, even a little bit, Liorta that night, Lava Mahani Le Mechla, the food would no longer be appetizing for him. In other words, Rav Sheshes lived on a very, very limited diet, to the extent that if he already ate something in the morning, he already no longer had an appetite to eat anything for the rest of the day. He already felt full. Baruch Hashem, I already had my breakfast. I'm good to go for the entire day until tomorrow. And therefore, that being the case, said Rav Sheshes, I don't want to lose my te'ovoin, my taiva, my craving and yearning to eat matzah mitzvah. Therefore, the best thing is not to eat anything today. So by the time we come to the Seder night, I'll be so hungry. I'm going to look at the matzahs. They're going to be so gishmak. And it's going to be mamish lishmo. I'm going to eat it. Ah, tzitzan givaldi. Okay, so that's the simple interpretation of our Gemara. Just a couple of notes. Note number one. To go and say that Rav Sheshes was careful not to eat anything. Now we're going back to the Havamina. The Havamina was that according to Rav Sheshes, the reason why he fasted all day because he holds Samach L'mincha G'doyla Tanan. And if you hold Samach L'mincha G'doyla, the reason is not because you should eat the matzah Seder night with a taiva, with a craving and a yearning and a desire, but rather because I'm afraid that the person might forget to bring Karban Pesach. Anybody that knows a little bit about the Amoraim, and Rav Sheshes was an Amora, the Amoraim lived, unfortunately, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And if it's after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, in the times of Rav Sheshes, okay, every day, achak aloi b'chol yom sheyovai, but by the time it came Erev Pesach, if Mashiach wasn't here yet, Ein ben David ba loy be arvi shabusas for be arvi yom tovim. He's not going to come today. So why do you have to go and fast? It's crystal clear that unfortunately he's not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach that day, especially not in the morning. Maybe if Mashiach would come miraculously in the morning, we'd have time to bring the afternoon. But why do you have to go and fast in the morning? So both the Rishbam and Tosis both say the same thing, and that is that if you want to look at the third Tosis, name a kosover of sheishes mishum Pesach. Says Tosis, the avagav de hashta leka Pesach, even though in the times of Rav Sheshes, and unfortunately in the times of Tosis, and unfortunately today, there is no carbon Pesach. Mikol moko iser shehoye bizman abayis lebatul. Rav Sheshes held, if you assume that Rav Sheshes fasted, like the Gemara said in the Havamina, already from the morning, because he held samach lemincha gdoila, that I'm concerned about the Korban Pesach, even though the Korban Pesach was not shayach in the times of Rav Sheshes. Nevertheless, he felt that issur already applied and continues to apply, unless and until a bezdin, which will be greater b'minyan, will go mivatalit, or until the Beis Midrash is taka rebuilt and will start bringing the Korban Pesach once again. And so therefore, that issur remains intact even today. And both the Rishbam says it and the Tosfos says it. And then the Rishbam brings over here that famous minhag, and that is that Tosfos brings from Masechtas Sofrim the minhag of the Bechorim to fast every Erev Pesach. If you look at the second Tosfos from the top, Rav Sheshe of Yosef Tanisa, Lav Davka, not the Mamish, he was fasting. El Shemer Atzmi Lechot, he was very, very careful about what he ate. Or Inami Yom Kabbal Olav Mamish Tanis, really, he really fasted. Kineshe Nizor, Niskor, the Nizor Milechot. Okay, that we already had before. And now Tosfos bring Vav Bechoyrois Noagulis Anais Erev Pesach. Tetoni Masech to Sofrim, Shein Mesana Ben Nisan, Elav Bechoyrois Be'erev Pesach. Aha. So now, L'choira, the Gemara could have asked, maybe the reason why Rav Sheshes fasted on Erev Pesach because he was a Bechor. And the answer is, presumably they knew that he wasn't a Bechor, and therefore that would not apply to him. So why did he fast? The Gemara thought in the Havamina because Samach al Mincha Gedoyla. Then the Gemara said, no, because Rav Sheshes was a very delicate eater. If he ate a little bit in the morning, he was already full for the rest of the day, even if he wasn't full. But he would no longer have that desire to eat the matzah at night because he already ate once that morning. Good. And now we start a new sugya. We're going to talk about the inyan of Heseba.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. Back to the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that everybody, when it comes to Seder night, everybody should sit not in a normal position, but rather leaning the Heseba. So we're going to explore that now for the rest of the Amud Aleph and into the Amud Beis. So the Gemara, Itmar. Matzah Tzorech Heseba. Moror Ein Tzorech Heseba. Since the whole inyan of Heseba is to go and show Geula, Malchus, the Baruch Hashem, we've been freed from the terrible bondage of Mitzrayim, we are now free men, we feel like kings, and therefore you have Heseba because that's what they did in the palaces, and that's what people did when they were eating in luxury, with the aristocracy, people would go and lie down, and that would go and show their freedom, and show their liberty, etc. Okay, so since matzah symbolizes that, now I know that some people are going to say, "Well, matzah symbolizes freedom. Matzah symbolizes holach ma'ani de'achol abasana bi'arid mitzrayim." That's true; it's a poor man's bread. But at the same time, matzah wears a second hat, and that is that we took the dough out of Mitzrayim before it was fully baked, and we took it on our shoulders. Tzruros al shichmam letzekam tzruros al shichmam. Because it didn't have a chance to rise, because the Mitzrayim threw us out. And so therefore matzah is in fact not only the bread of our affliction, lach ma'anya, but it's also the bread of our liberty. Matzah zu she'anu oichlem al shema, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to took us out of Mitzrayim, and we didn't have enough time for the matzah to rise into chametz, and that's why we eat matzah ad hayom hazeh. Okay, so that symbolizes freedom. So that's why you have a Seba. Moror, only has one hat, and that is the bitterness that we felt in Mitzrayim as a result of the terrible torture of the Mitzrayim and the terrible atrocities that they did to us. And therefore, it was a very bitter life. Ein tzarech haseba for that. We don't commemorate it. We don't celebrate it by leaning. What about Yayin? Okay, so in fact, we have two versions of Rav Nachman. Itma mishmid Rav Nachman tzarech haseba. Vitma mishmid Rav Nachman ein tzarech haseba. Is a machloikis what Rav Nachman really held. Do you need a seba by the drinking of the wine, or do you not? So the more of a loy pligi. It's not a machloikis. What do you mean it's not a machloikis? Tzorech a seba, a loy tzorech a seba. I'll tell you why there's no machloikis. Ho betarti kasi kamoi, ho betarti kasi basroi. It depends. After all, there are four koises altogether. You have the first two, and you have the second two. By one of the two sets of two, you need a seba. And the other set, you don't need a seba. And the obvious question is, tell me which set are we talking about? Is it the first or the second? Ah, Amrilo l'haygisa, Amrilo l'haygisa. There are two versions as to which set requires the seba and which one does not. Now let's remember, when do you drink the first two koises and when do you drink the second two koises? So the first two koises, you end right before you wash, right? We finish Go'al Yisrael, and then we go and say the Hinei Muchan, we make the Bracha, and after we finish the second Kos, then we are basically done with most of the Haggadah, and we get up and we wash our hands for Hamoitzi. Then the second two, one is on benching, and one is right at the end on Halal Nirtza. Ah. Okay, so Amri Lo L'Haggisa, according to the first version, trei kasi kamoi bo esei, but the first two koises require a seba. The hashtahu to come mitzchel alacheres, because we start off the Haggadah telling about avodah mayinu ba'at la'ara lefari b'mitzrayim, but then we finish off Goal Yisrael. The Kadosh Baruch Hu asher galanu, Kadosh Baruch Hu was goyel, he went and freed us. So when we conclude, or when we're drinking the two koises, both the first one and the second one, that's all over the period of time where there was a major metamorphosis, a major transformation from those of slaves to free men. So therefore, to celebrate that, we have the haseba during that part of the Seder night. However, there's no longer a need for a seba, because Maida Hava Hava. We've already gone through the whole story. We've already told everyone how we were liberated. So we've already celebrated that by our initial haseba. It's no longer necessary. Maida Hava Hava is basically that this is already history. We already went through it. You see, Toisis, the fourth line, the fourth Toisis, I mean, Maida Hava Hava, Shikvar Omru Geula Lefnei Asuda. Before we even began to wash, we already said Asher Golanu, etc. Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. So the Geula has concluded, so to speak. So the celebration of that Geula in the form of the Haseba is also completed. We don't have to do any further Haseba. However, V'Amri L'Haygisa, there's another version. That Adrab Treikasi Basroi Bo Haseba, we should dafka go and celebrate through Haseba on the latter two koises. Hahishat to Kohav Yecheres, because now that we have finished the Goal Yisrael, now we're taka free and starting then from the meal till the end. That would be the appropriate time to celebrate that freedom, because until now we were talking about the bondage and the slavery and the nisim and all the rest, but now we're free. So the last two. We're still talking so much, the first two, with the Avodah Mayinu and all the terrible things that they did to us, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go and finally redeem us. So that's the trying, the difficult period. That's not the time to celebrate. The time of celebration is after we've been liberated and into the third and the fourth class. Says Yomar, since there are two versions, and each one of the two versions is plausible, and we're not sure which one Rav Nachman was referring to. Was it to the first two koises, the second two koises? You know what? Therefore, you have to have a seba by all four instead of just two. We don't know. Now, there's an obvious question, and that is, this is a suffix. Suffix d'iraisa is the chumrah. The Indian of a seba doesn't say in the Torah, it's midraban. So suffik draban is lakula. So why are we machme to go and do all four? We should be mekel. That kasha is not my kasha, it's a kasha of the Ran. And the Ran says that the teretz is very simple. If you could go and do some sort of compromise because of the suffix Rabbanan, that would be great. But here, if you don't know whether it's the first two kaisa and you don't know if the second two kaisa, so you say suffix Rabbanan lekula, that means you're not going to do any of the kaisas, then you're going to be mavata the whole inyan that the chachamim were misak and haseva by the kaisas. Because they don't know which ones. Is it the first ones or the second ones? Suffix Rabbanan lekula, I'll be mekel here, I'll be mekel there. And I will therefore, in a sense, destroy that entire legislation, that entire mitzvah that the Chachamim instituted and legislated. In such a case, we don't say Safik Rabban Lekula. Azeizok Dera. But we have another question on Baisai, and that is, let's assume that Taka, only the first two kaises you're supposed to go and have a seba, and not the second two kaises. Why? Because the major liberation, freedom, has already taken place, Asher Golanu, and we're now into the Suda, Maida Hava Hava, that's already history. Rabbi, when we start off the Suda, what do we eat? We eat matzah. How do we eat the matzah? With a seba. Well, you just told me that we finished the seba according to the first version, that only the tray kasi kamoi boy haseba. Because by the time you get to the suda, maida haba haba. What about eating the matzah behaseba? This is not my question. This is the fourth toises that we looked at the beginning of the toises. Let's take another look at it. Maida haba haba. Shikvar omr gu'ul afnei hasuda. Why don't we say matzah? Haseba. It's already history. We already said Golano. We already said Gal Yisrael. That's done. Finished. What do we have to have a seba for? So Tosafos says a couple answers. Number one, Shani matzah she ikir seuda yoisa miyayin. Meaning that the takon of the chachamim were mesakin, that you need haseba, was even more pronounced when it comes to matzah more than wine, because after all, matzah, this is a chiv deraisa, you have to go and eat matzah. Al matzis meroyim yachlu, it doesn't say that you eat the karm pesach, al matzis meroyim v'yayin yachlu, it says al matzis meroyim yachlu, so the whole inyan of drinking the wine deracheres, that's the rabbanan. Matzah was over deraisa, and that's the major seuda. You're not going to get satisfied just drinking wine. You got to eat something. So therefore, even though it's beyond the Goal Yisrael, nevertheless, we do haseba for the matzah. We can't do haseba previously because we didn't eat matzah until now. So we're starting off with the matzah. You do with haseba. V'oid b'yayin hasev kvar b'shnei koises orishayin. But the yayin we already yoitza the haseba. We already did it the two first koises. So maybe we can stop, we don't have to do the next two kaises. But matzah didn't have an opportunity yet to go and do a seba, because matzah we didn't eat yet. Even though, yes, it's holach ma'anya, but so the Toises points out, it's not that you have to have haseba every little piece of matzah that you eat from beginning to end, but by the achilas matzah and by the afikoyim. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so lemaisa, we have to have aleph for koises, and that's the meaning today, and that's what the olim fisach. Getting back to our Gemara, we're up to the word prakton. Prakton is, you'll see there's a toisis which starts prakton. So this is two lines below that toisis. Prakton loishmei haseba. Now our Gemara is going to tell us a little bit about the techniques. How do you do haseba? So the Braisa tells us, number one, prakton, if you are lying like a prakton. Now what is, how do you lie like a prakton? So if you look at the first wide line of the Rishbam, all the way down below, first wide line. So the Rishbam, he's lying on his back. In fancy English, that's called supine, with his face up. And that's the way he wants to go and lie there for the drinking of the koisis and the eating of the matzah. Says Gemara, prakton lo yishmei haseba. Toises, by the way, brings another pshat that prakton is the other way around. That a person is lying on his face and on his stomach. Says Toises, even though perhaps The definition of prakter might lend itself to that type of lying down, but he certainly ain't derech lechol b'inyan zeh. Nobody goes and eats at a table with his face down and with his stomach to the ground. I mean, that, or stomach to the bed. That would be ridiculous. How can you go and put anything in your mouth? You have to put your head up if you want to eat or drink something. So that cannot be the pshat. So prakter means a person who's lying supine on his back.
You wouldn't be able to eat either.
Why not?
Because lying on one's back, you can't really feed yourself. You can't control what the flow of food. You choke.
Excellent. That's what the Gemara is going to say in a moment. Praktin loishamay haseba. Praktin is not considered to be haseba. Haseba is yamin loishamay haseba. And when you lie on your right arm, on your right side, that's also not haseba. You have to go and lie on your left. V'loyoid. Moreover, aleshem yaktim kona leveshit v'yovili de sakona. Because chas v'sholem, if you're going to lie in one of those ways, we'll see in a moment which way we're talking about, it could come to a tremendous sakana, and this is what I believe Reb Daniel was referring to a moment ago, that if you eat inappropriately, then the food is going to go down the wrong pipe, and chas v'sholem, that could be a sakana. Now this v'loy oit, el shem yaktin, is this modifying the prakton? The person who's lying on his back? Or is this referring to the person who's a sebi simin, that is leaning on the right side? And guess what? It's a machlokes. If you look at the Rishbam down below, the second wide line has sebi simin, lav shmo has sebi zok to Rishbam, shar biminoi hu tzarech lechol. The reason why it's not because it's a sakana, but because you have to eat with your right hand, and you can't eat with your right hand if you're leaning on your right side, on your right hand, on your right arm. That would suggest that would only apply to a righty. Person who's a lefty, that would be fine. But we're not done yet. Continuing on, Shemi Yaktim, says the Rishbam initially, Aprakten Koi. Oh, this is going on the one that's leaning by lying on his back. Because his neck is also leaning backwards. Shipikoiva is a fancy name for that in English. The epiglottis. Epiglottis is a small little cover. That's why it's called koiva, like a hat. That what? Hasoisem espia kona. That normally covers over the windpipe. If you're lying backwards on your back, niftach, that could open, umiskapalamala. And guess what? That epiglottis, instead of folding itself nicely and covering over the windpipe when it is supposed to, when is it supposed to? When you're eating, then you want to go and close up the windpipe and have the esophagus, the food pipe, being open. So guess what? If you're lying in the wrong position, that piakana will be open. Mikana poishit lamala, and as a result, your windpipe will now stretch out upwards. V'machal nichlas atoichoy, and chas v'sholem, the food is going to go through the wrong pipe into the windpipe instead of the food pipe. V'nechlach, chas v'sholem, the person gets suffocated. Kach pirus shebein shloima, meaning the Heilige Zayde Rashi. I don't know why it just is over here. Kach pirus shebein shloima, back on the Amud Beis of yesterday, the last three lines, Rishbam said v'rabbeinu shloima zekeni man zayde. Why didn't say Zayda again over here? I don't know. Maybe he figures everybody remembers that it's a Zayda. You don't have to repeat it. Anyway, so bottom line is, the Rishbam has quoted Rashi, that Rashi says that when it says Shema Yaktim Kona Levesha Na Gemara, it's going on the Praktan. By the way, for those of you that are not sure that the Rishbam is quoting Rashi correctly, if you look at the Rashi up the top, go up 10 lines from the end of the Rashi, where it says Shema Yaktim, a Praktan Koi. It's going on the person that is lying on his back. Etc. Word for word, just like the Rishbam quotes Rashi down below. Now I understand, according to Rashi, why this Shemiyaktim is modifying or explaining the Prakton and not explaining the case of the Sebis Yamin, because Rashi is learning the Sebis Yamin. That's because you cannot easily eat when you're lying down on your right arm and your right hand, because your hand is not free to pick up the fork and to take things. But according to this pshat, that the Shema Yaktim is only referring to the Praktan, Einachanami, a lefty l'chore, should lie on his right side, because as a lefty he needs to go and pick up the food with his left hand. L'chore, that's what it should come out, according to Rashi. However, continues Rashbam, the Kashali, If that was the real pshat, like Rashi's learning, l'choira, right after prakton, should not go and do haseba. Prakton l'shmei haseba should say, you know why? Because shemi yakdim kana levashit. Why does he bring the shemi yakdim kana levashit after the haseba siyamin? And therefore says Rishbam v'raboisei pirshu shemi yakdim kana levashit deveshit havi al tzad yamin. It's because the food pipe happens to be on the right side. That's the epiglottis that will go and open up. Kishu matze klap yamin, if you're lying on the right side. It's supposed to go into the veshit, but the veshit is going to be closed up as a result of the fact that you're lying on it on the right side. The epiglottis is going to open up, and the food is, instead of going down to the esophagus, the food pipe, it's going to go down to the windpipe. Then in fact, the shemi yakdim is not going on the prakton case, it's going on the hesebis yamin case. Bottom line, therefore, is according to this pshat, even if you happen to be a lefty, you still have to go and lie on your left side, not on your right side, because there's nothing to do with, like Rashi said, nothing to do with that. It has to do with chasa shalom sakana. If you ask any good doctor, any good scientist, they will tell you that the lefties and the righties, the windpipe and the food pipe, are in the exact same position. It's not that a lefty has his food pipe to the left as opposed to the right. They're both in the same position, the kana and the veshit. Therefore, it's the same sakana whether you're righty or lefty, if you're leaning on the wrong side, or in this case, if you're leaning on the right side. So the right side, you have to go the right side or the wrong side.
The kana is open on the, when you lean the
when you're leaning, then that will cause the veshit to kind of close, and the kana to open, and the food will go down the kana instead of going down the veshit. Good. Anyway, so that's pshat. Machloikis Rashi and Rejbam, which one is the Shemayaktim referring to? Is it the Prakton case or the Esebis Yamin case? And Toisis has a, not Toisis, the Rejbam has a slight proof from the text of the Gemara, the fact that this Loyoy Shemayaktim is right after the Esebis Yamin as opposed to being after the Prakton. Right, Isha Eitzel Bala, Loy Baya Seba. If you have a married woman, she does not have to do a Seba. Why doesn't she have to do a seba? So there's a Rejbam here, four lines from the bottom. Isha enet zricha sebim, ne emas bala. She has a certain reverence for her husband. Ukfufaloi, she's somewhat subservient to him. I'm not sure that everybody would agree to that today, but at least that was the case in the time of Hazal. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, out of respect and out of reverence, you wouldn't go and, for instance, if you happen to be in the royal palace and the king is there, you'll always be in your best conduct. You're not going to go and start mimicking the king and start going to the left or to the right. The king is there. So the wife treats the husband, like, hopefully, like the king. Then he brings from the Shiltois, the Rebachoi, Lav der Kayu de Nashi Lemizka. It's also not the minig of women to go and lie down. Perhaps it's considered to be a natsniastic or whatever. It's not. It doesn't show modesty. So they should go and sit up straight. That is the Gabi Isha. It's about the Misha Chashuvi. If a woman is Choshev, Tzricha Seba, then she should do a Seba after all. And there's a famous Ravya, which is brought, I believe, by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that all of our Noshim HaChashuvah are saying, so therefore they all can, if they want to. And many women do have this custom today that they do a Seba after all. Anyway, continuing the Gemara, Ben Eitzel Oviv Boya Seba. A son with his father requires a Seba. And even though the son does have to show respect to his father, however, Rishbam says, they have a kof of kol kach. The reverence that his son has for his father is not the same as the reverence that a woman has for her husband. And so therefore, not the same category. Does require a Seba. Iboilu, what about Talmud Eitzel Rabbi Mai? What about a Talmud that's sitting together with his Rabbi, after all? What's the halacha here? Estoshema says, "Look, the Abaye was the Dalit, the Omar. Ah, the Omar Abaye. Ki avinim beimar." I remember in the earlier days when we were learning in the Besmedish, in the home of Rabba, Mar being Rabba, zoginon abirki dadodi. All the Talmidim did haseba, but they didn't have fancy beds, they didn't have fancy pillows, but instead everybody kind of leaned on his chaver. It was like a domino effect. There were 10 in a row, so to speak, as an example, and each one was lying on the person immediately to his left. Kisina the Beit of Yosef, however, in later years, as we know, Rabbah was the Rosh Hashiva first, and Rav Yosef took over after Rabbah passed away. That's the Gemara, the end of Brochus, the end of Hoyrius. So when Rav Yosef became the new Rosh Hashiva, and we wanted to continue that minhag in his home, Omer and Rav Yosef said it's not necessary. Like we said before, Yemoy Rabbah Kemoy Rishamayim, and therefore, just like in front of a Melech Basav Adam, you wouldn't do Haseba because he's royalty, and you're just a commoner. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, who's so much greater, Lachas Kam Bekama, than Melech Bas Vedam. And since the Moir Rabbah Kemoir Shemayim, so therefore you have to have total fear, reverence, awe for your Rebbe, therefore you don't have to do Haseba whatsoever. How do I know Ye Moir Rabbah Kemoir Shemayim? So Rishbam brings another Gemara that we had earlier on in a Masechta. It says in the Pasuk, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. What does the S come to tell us? Remember, Nachman and Soini, right. Originally they did Darsh, and then therefore they were Poydish. Why were they Poydish? Because they didn't know how to go in Darsh and Es Hashem Kechatira, until came Rabbi Kiva, and he says, L'rabbis tamidecha chomim, that you should have fear not only of Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyach, but also of the tamidecha chomim. Anyway, so because of that awe and reverence, you don't have to have a seba in front of your rabbi. Frankly, more amazing, I have a shtarka kasha under Rav Yosef. Is Rav Yosef arguing with a Braisa? It says in the Braisa, "Ima koil oda meisim afil a talmid etzel rabbi." Even a talmid by the Rebbe should also go and have a seba. And you just told me no. Ef the Markitanya, he b'shulya the nagri. Although we use the same term talmid etzel rabbi, we don't mean talmid etzel rabbi, the rabbi that is teaching us Gemara or teaching us halacha. We're talking about the rabbi who happens to be the professional who has an apprentice in his shop. You happen to be an apprentice working for a professional, so he is your rabbi, he is your mentor, he is the one that's teaching you the trade, he's teaching you how to act. Oh, if you look at the last Rishbam on the bottom of the Omid, B'shulya Denagri, Talmidei Shel Nagar. Nagar, I believe, is a carpenter. Shemalam the Umnes is teaching him carpentry, is teaching him how to go and do the work. So that's called the Talmid Eitz Rabbah. That type of Talmid Eitz Rabbah, yeah, he has to do a Seba, because after all, that is not the Moir Rabbah, Moir Shemaim. We're talking about the Moir Rabbah is the rabbi that teaches him Torah. Iboy Lu Shamas Mai, what's it done by the waiter? After all, the waiter is running around from table to table. What is he going to do? So Shemadi Abub Shimon Levi, Hashamash Ochel Kazayis Matzah, Kishu Meisav Yotzah. All you have to have is a minimum of Kzayis Matzah. If he sits a Kzayis Matzah, Be'aseh, he's Yotzah, and therefore that's already enough. But Meisav Inlay Meisav Lay, but even he requires Heseba, even though he's waiting on tables, he is not totally liberated that night. Well, he's making Parnassah. And therefore, Shema Minah, that even a Shamas also requires Heseba, the minimum Heseba. He doesn't have to sit there for hours and hours, Be'aseh, but at least a Kzayis.
Why does it say Toshema before Dabaya? This is obviously not a brisa.
Tashma the Omer Bshuma Levi?
No, but it says my Tashma, we had the Bath and the Abaya.
The Omer Abaya.
The Omer, okay, the Omer Abaya.
All the Masoris and Shas did was that Omer Abaya, the Omer Abaya. We added a Dalit.
Okay.
Okay,
so, but that's
a Tashma is
usually a brisa.
No, a Tanar Abanan is a brisa, Tanya is a brisa, but Tashma means come in here. Come and see, I have some proof. Right. If I have a Mishnah or a Braisa, that's better. But if not, then bring a Shemaitza and bring a member of the Hamiram. No problem. Okay, Shema Amino, Boyesei B'Shema Amino. Last line, El Reb Shimon Levi. Noshim Chayobes Barboa Koises Halolu. Women have to go and drink the four koises just like the men folk. Sha'af Heino Yeboisei, that's because they were also part and parcel of the great miracle. Now, the Lashet Sha'af Heino Yeboisei sounds like they too, they're not the principal characters in this major nest, but they were also in the nest. But Rishbam, interestingly enough, says no. Let's look at the first Rishbam. Shafeinu yiboisa nest, the Omer b'msechta soita, bischar noshim tzidkonia shehoi yiboisa dor nigalu. They were the main characters. It's because of the women, that's why we're Adam Mitzrayim. It says the same thing in Maseches Megillah. Esther was the one that led Klal Yisrael in the times of Achashverosh, and she was the one that Baruch Hashem saved us from the terrible, terrible decrees of Achashverosh and Haman. V'chein gavi Chanukah Masechta Shabbos. What happened by Chanukah? Rishbam doesn't bring it, but we'll see in a moment in the Tosfos that the nes was Ayidei Yehudis, Ulzu Eileni, Losha Mareinu Halevi. Now let's take a look at the second Tosfos. Hoye Ba'isa Nes, Pirush Rishbam Sh'al Yodim Nigalu, V'chein Memegila Ayidei Esther. The kosher Tosfos is not happy with that pshat. The af mashma she'ein an ikker, af ein ba'yis ha'nes, means that they were number two online. If you're telling me that the nes was made by them, they were the ones, the architects and the masters that caused this nes, then it should be they're the nes makers. That's the reason why we are af ein. We menfolk are the af ein ba'yis ha'nes. And therefore, Tosfos is not happy with this pshat. And therefore, the Oid, he brings, in fact, another girsa, not Afheinu Yubayis Anes. A girsa of Yerushalmi, Afheinu Yubayis a Safik, Masha Ba'ois a Sakona, the Lahash, the Harigul Abed. In the times of the Megillah, that's of course a quote from the Megillah, as well as in the times of Mitzrayim. And so therefore, bottom line is, says Tosfos, the Afheinu Yubayis Anes is not coming to tell us L'choira that they were the principal characters in the, or they had the major role. They had a more minor role, but rather they were together with Klal Yisrael, both in the Sakana and ultimately in our liberation. Now, what's the reason why we even have to come onto this? That the Afhein Hoye Ba'is Anes, because otherwise tells us the Tab Tosfos, we know that women are part of a mitzvah asei shehazman gerama, and therefore, when do we have the mitzvah of Arba Kosis? Only once a year on Seder night. In Chutzlar it's two nights, but it's a mitzvah asei shehazman gerama. So women should be part of it. The reason why they're chayiv is because Afhein Hoye Ba'is Anes. So you're going to tell me, but this is the Rabbanan, it's not the Araisa. And the mitzvah says, she's man, grom is chayiv the Araisa. So that's the top. Toises, give a kick to Toises, Afhein Hoye Ba'is Anes, the Toises. We love high time, if it wasn't for that reason, loy hoye chayiavois, mishim the noshim beturim mitzvah she man grom. Ah, yafagab the boss, the koiz is the Rabbanan, ken the Araisa tikkun. Like many other dinim the Rabbanan, they were misaki ken the Araisa. And just like all the Araises, mitzvah sasashas, man, grama, women are potter. So mitzvah strabban, the women would also be potter. The reason why they're chayv is because of afhein oye boysanas. Good. Om revira mishwo. Arba kois is halalu tzorach shehei behen kidei mezigas kois yofa. These arba kois that we're talking about, they have to have kidei mezigas kois yofa. What does mezigas kois yofa mean? We're going to talk about this a little bit further down on the Amud, but basically what we're talking about is that in the good old days when they used to go and drink, or when they used to bring to the table fresh wine from the barrel, that wine was totally undiluted, and that wine was essentially undrinkable until you did mezigas hakos. What was the normal ratio of mezigas hakos? Typically, three parts water to one part wine. Okay, so therefore the amount of the arba koisis has to be the amount of mezigas kois yofa. Let's leave that for a moment to mention. We're going to talk about that further halfway down the
arm. So mezigas kois is a kois with three parts water and one part wine.
We're going to focus on that shortly. But yes, in general, what you said is correct. Shosen chai, what happens if you drank the water? The wine undiluted. Chai means raw wine. Undiluted wine. Yotzi yoyotz. Shosim abasachas. What happens if you drank them all at one time? Yotze. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. Hishka mehen lebanov lebeisoy. What happens if he shared the kos with his children and his family members? Also yotze. Now we're going to go over the list as you'll see. Shosim chai yotze. If you went and drank chai, raw wine, yoyotze. Amarava. Yideyayin yotze. Yideycheres lo yotze. The Indian of drinking wine, say tonight, there are really two qualities to it. Number one, drinking wine. Drinking wine itself, there's an Indian of samachta b'chagecha, and simcha l'basa v'yayin, simchas yontif. That's very, very nice. However, the din of cheres, you're not yotze. Why you're not yotze cheres? Because you don't go and drink undiluted wine. Undiluted wine is like drinking kedem raspberry syrup. Yeah, it's very nice, but without diluting it in water, it's, you know, it's just this thick syrup, right? You don't, you never had the raspberry syrup, the kedem raspberry syrup. Anyway, we were kids, that's basically all we drank for Pesach.
You bet,
okay.
That's chocolate.
Chocolate, all right, whatever it is. Anyway, you get the idea. So says Ravi, yidayayin yotze. Okay, the simchas yontav, you drank wine, fine. Yidayin cheres liyotze, but to go and show cheres, celebrating your liberation and your freedom, it doesn't do the trick. Rishbam adds another word as well as the Rashi. In fact, if you look at the Rashi here above, parallel to our Gemara, the yayin yotze shishosa, he drank dalit koises. Yidayin cheres liyotze kolim einzu mitzvah shleima. Yeah, it's not the full shleimus. The full shleimus is when it's diluted wine, when you can drink it, when it's drinkable wine. Now, shosim abasachas, Rav Omer yideyayin yotze yidey abo koisis lo yotze. You yotze taka drinking wine. Again, the Rishbam later on says simchas yontip. Yeah, yotze abo koisis. Now, what's the definition of shosim abasachas? You drank them at one time. What does that mean? So, Rishbam first quotes from Rashi that Basachas means that you poured all of them into the equivalent of an Eliyahu Hanavikos, and you drank them all in one sitting. If you look at the Rishbam, 6-7 lines into the wide lines, the Basachas, Ir Abatun Betoich Kois Echad, took a large kos, like Eliyahu Hanavikos, you filled it up with four koises, regular koises, Kach Pirush Ben Shloime, that's Rashi. So if you drank that type of Oig Melech HaBoshen, large kos, Eliyahu Hanavikos, all four koises together, shteitach your yoitze. But you're only yoitze yayin, you're not yoitze the Indian of arba koises. Zog the Rishbam, v'loi nehira, I disagree. Da'afilu shoyse harbe b'kli echad, le'choshe b'l'koise echad. You can go and drink every one of your arba koises and Eliyahu Hanavi kois if you can stomach it. That's only called one kois. Da'ai revias eni elemute pachas merevias. A revias means that's the minimum. If you have a very large kos that has two revias in, and three revias in, and four revias in, but it's only one kos. In other words, you made kiddush, and then you said, I don't want to waste time later on with three more koises. It'll be a shail of a new bracha. You know what? Let's go and fill up the koises. Take number two. Fill up the koises. Number three. Number four. All four in a row. What's the halacha then? You have to go and continue drinking three more koises later on. You'll be yoitze the first kos, but you won't be yoitze the other three koises. If you go down Rashi and Rishbam another few lines down, you see Rishbam says, Av yidei arboa koises leyotze, the kulin chashuvin kois rishain, even though you drank four independent koises, ritzufin one after the other consecutively, it's only considered to be one kos, v'lo yoitze, v'tzorech lo havi yoitze loyshe koises ala seder. You haven't benefited at all. I mean, unless you're one of these big wine drinkers. But you come kos number two, you got to drink number two, and number three, and number four. You haven't gained anything by drinking all the four koises ritzuf. Okay, anyway, back to our Gemara. So, machloikis Rashi and Rishbam. What's pshat in Babasachas? Zokti mora baitem. Shosim Basachas, abom yotia, abom koises lo yotza. Hishka mehen lebon of lebnei yabesa yotza. You can go and share it with your family. But you have to make sure that the drinker, in other words, the father figure who's drinking from the kos, that he drank at least rav of that kos. If he drank rav of the kos, he's yotze. However, if he didn't drink rav of the kos, but he shared it amply with his wife and his children, he's not yotze. You have to drink at least rav kos. About this rav kos, you'll remember Barry already asked about this yesterday or the day before. If you look, there's a short toisis over here. Toisis halfway down the wide lines. Ruba de kasa, hane kimoloi lugumov, kid perashi liel, umi lechatchila tzorch lishis revias. Lechatchila, you should drink the entire kos, assuming that the kos is revias. Drink the entire kos. Don't drink just rov. However, b'diavad roiv is enough, and that, the definition of roiv kos, is the same as moloi lugumov, filling up the cheek. In other words, taking the average individual, if he or she goes and pushes the wine to one side of the cheek, that amount that fills up that part of the cheek, guess what? That's rav kais. Easier to talk about rav kais than filling up a cheek, because it's difficult to start pushing the wine. After all, wine is a liquid. To try to put all the wine in one side, it's kind of problematic, and therefore, rav kais, that's the same thing as the shir mle lugmav, like we had the other day. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Meisvei dalik koisa lo lutzarich shehei behem kedei revius. These four koises have to have a revius. This is a brisa. The koises have to have a revius. Echad chai v'echad mozig echad chodesh v'echad yosher. Tanakama says it really doesn't matter what type of wine. Wine is wine is wine. It should be whether it's chai, whether it's raw wine, whether it's mozig, whether it's diluted wine, whether it's chodesh, it's new wine, yoshen, whether it's old wine. On the surface, yoshen we normally think of being top quality wine, right? What does Rashi say in Chumash that the Yankov Avinu that they gave yayin yoshen tam zekeinim nenemi menu, that the elderly they drink that this yayin yoshen, ah geshmak, it's delicious. Here, however, our Gemara says differently, or I should say Rishbam says differently, that both the Yoshen and the Chodosh is not meant in a flattering manner, but rather it means a negative manner. If you see Rishbam, the Echad Yoshen, 12 lines from the bottom, 15 lines from the bottom, the Echad Yoshen says to Rishbam, She'in b'tam yayin kol kach she'nasa cholash. When we mean that it's old, it means that it's not old and it's already weak and it's already
feeble.
Oh, good. Sometimes people open up, they get bottles of wine for shlachmanis, and then they leave it on their shelf or whatever for a year, and then they open it up a year later, or they give it to shlachmanis a year later to somebody else, and then you open up the wine and you see that the wine is already dull. Often it's already vinegar or
sediment,
whatever. Inami chodesh ein by time yain, or chodesh brand new wine that just came out of the winery, also doesn't have that time yet. It didn't have a chance to really go and ferment and to have a good time. Anyway, says the Tanakam, it makes a difference. Wine is wine. Yoytz, as long as you have a kedei revius. Rabbi Yehuda imetzarich shehi by tam umar yain. So Rabbi Yehuda argues on both points. Number one, it's got to be a tam yain. Says Rishbam lemute chodesh v'yoshen, brand new wine or old dull wine, no good. It's got to be normal wine, not too new, not too old, good wine. Umar yain, it's got to be red, and the Gemara is going to tell us in a minute why it has to be red based on a pasuk. Okay, so that's the brisa. What's the kasha? The kasha is, you started off saying at the top of the Amid, Amri Bihuda Amri Shmuel, Arba'a Koises have to have the shear of Kedei Mezigas Kois Yofa. Frey Timura, Ketoni Mias, in this brisa we said, Sorkshi Heben Kedei Revias. The Ad Amris Kois Yofa? Because the Gemara assumed in the Havamina that these are two different shiurim. Everything more Amri Ida Bida Khachiuruhu. No, these are exactly the same shear. How's it the same shear? This is what Daniel, remember you asked me, I told you we're going to talk about it later. Mike they get Koisyofa. What does that mean? The Kama? They call Khad Vakhad the Havulhu Kulurvis. Everybody that has a kos should have a kos where it's filled up with a revius. Now, how much wine should be in that revius? The amount that you have to do for a Koisyofa. What's the amount for a koisiyafa? Koisiyafa doesn't only mean a nice drink, but also means exactly koishul birchas amazon. For koishul birchas amazon, the Gemara says in the end of Sechtes Brachas, there are 10 requirements. One of the requirements that it should be mazug. What's the amount of maziga? Maziga means dilution. So, Jeshbam, 3 parts to 1. Ah, so when you have wine in your kos, the amount of wine that you have in the kos is kedei mazigas koisiyafa. A quarter of a revius, so that you can now add 3/4 of a revius of water to the 1/4 of wine. You add the 3 together with the quarter. You have now 4/4, which add up together to be a revius haloig, and that's the shear of the wine.
Can water be substituted?
For the wine?
No, can water be substituted by another dilution liquid?
What would you
mean? Apple juice or grape juice or
grape juice itself is considered to be wine. Grape juice itself is considered to be wine. So you don't have to dilute that. We're talking about the wine is just so strong that you have to dilute it with something. So you're recommending perhaps instead of water putting in an apple juice or orange juice or something else. I never heard of people diluting wine by putting in apple juice, but I guess
I never heard of them using water.
The reason why you've never heard of using water is because all the wine that we get is already diluted.
Right.
In fact, the Rishbam even says that we're only referring to Piyam Mehen, we're not referring to Bizman Hazeh. Because Bizman Hazeh says all of our wine is already. If you look at the Rishbam, halfway down the wide line, you see Yedei Cheres Liyotza. You have that Rishbam? Yedei Cheres Liyotza. 12 lines, and you're going too far, halfway down, not 3/4 of the way down. You have Yedei Cheres Liyotza.
Yes.
Good. So, Rishbam. Kaloimar Einzu Mitzah Shleima Shein Chashivis Al Biyain Mozik. Real wine is wine that is diluted. And now Daniel, Vahani Nile Biyena Shalahan De Doru Al Chad Plas Maya. You have to mix them 1 to 3 parts of water. Aviyena Shalano Leibay Mizik. They don't need dilution. Our wine's already fully diluted. And I've told this story in the past, but I'm happy to share it with you again. My Shver Zechron Levracha would always tell us that the Tzeilim Rav on Shabbos, when he used to add a drop of water, as you know, it's a custom in many communities, that when you open up a brand new bottle of wine or grape juice, you add a drop of water to it. Why do you add a drop of water to the wine or the grape juice? So 3 reasons are given. One reason that's given, which was the favorite reason my father, Zecharon Levracha, always used to tell, is because, based on Kabbalistic teachings, the wine is considered to be, to symbolize the Midas HaGvura, or the Midas HaDin, because wine typically is strong. Water is the Midas HaChesed, because the world could not exist without water. So you want to be Meskaber, you want to conquer the Midas HaDin by diluting it, by putting in water. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of water. Symbolically, that Midas HaChesed, therefore, will vanquish Eloi Govar, it's going to vanquish and conquer the Midas HaGvura down below. A second reason that's given is because of, in fact, the reason that's given in the Gemara that we're talking about now, that the wine was not drinkable by Yom HaMehein. Their wine was so syrupy, it was so intense, you had to dilute it. Without that, you're not Yoytze Cheiris, you're not Yoytze Arba Koises. You got to go and dilute the wine. You have to go and dilute the wine. That was by Yom HaMehein. We don't have to dilute the wines today. Yeni Shalon Eloi Mezigah. Since in the good old days they used to go and put a wine, we put the water into the wine, so we put a drop in also symbolically to remember that ultimately. A third reason that's given is because sometimes people drink from the wine and then the wine becomes pogum. To take out that pogum, you have to go and put in a drop of
drink from the bottle.
Most people don't drink from the bottle, but most people do drink from a cup, and there are people that like this one, it's too much. After he drank it, he pours it back. Well, sip from it. No germs, it's fine. And he puts it. Once you do that, then the whole wine becomes pogum. So the wine becomes pogum, you cannot use it after that for benching or for kiddush, havdalah. You have to add a little bit of water, and that takes away the pogum. Anyway, so most people, how do they go and add that water? They take from their kos. Usually, many people have a little drop of water left in their kos because you wash it out on Friday nights before you make kiddush. So that little drop, they go pour it. Some people go to the faucet and they take with a little spoon and they put it in. So my shver said that the Tzeilim Rav, Zecharon Levracha, used to go and take the blade of a knife, put it under the water, have a little drop on that blade, and he would put that into the wine. And people ask him, why? I never saw that before, blade of a knife. He says, yes. He says, as you know, I give hashkocha on Kedem wines, and Kedem wines, to comply with New York law, make sure that the ratio of dilution is such that it's called wine. If we were to add more water to it, it would be a shaila whether it's called wine anymore or whether it's just called grape flavored water. It would no longer have the status of wine. So therefore, if I put in too much water, I already shaila whether there's a bracha of yayin. That's why I put in the minimum, that little minimum, the zakosha is gunish. But if you already put anything more substantial, you already have a shaila whether it's already water instead of wine, the gabi bracha. If it's over diluted, exactly right.
And what's the inyan of washing the clothes before kiddush?
The Gemara, the end of Masechta's Bracha, said that the 10 special things that you do for the kiddush cup as well as for the kosher bracha, because you want it to be really special since you're being Mekadosh Shabbos on it. So one of the things is that it has to be nice and clean. So many of the poskim say nice and clean is not just that you took it off the shelf and you say, oh, it looks great, but you go and rinse it out to make sure that it's really clean. And then it has to be mole, it has to be tilatap, it has to have revias, all different types of requirements.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, Zokti Gemara. So therefore, the kasha that you asked, that Shmuel said it has to be Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofa, and the Brisa that said that it has to be Kedei Revias, it's Haino Hach, Idi V'Idi Chachiure. Frank Dimar, my Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofa, Kamen Chol Chavachan, of the Revias. Good. Rabbi Udoin, Turk Shehei by Tam Umara. Umar of my time in Rabbi Udoin, why does this have to have a Mara? Now what means Mara? Mara, says Rishba, means that it has to be red. it should not be white wine, and most people are nohag to go and take dark wine on Seder night, to the kind of this, because it says in the pasuk, "Dechsev al teira yayin ki yis adam." Now this pasuk is Musar in Mishlei, and saying to people, don't look at the wine, ki yis adam, when you see that it's so red, has such a rosy red complexion to it, and therefore it might entice you. It looks good. Maybe I should drink some wine. And guess what happens? If you drink a little more and you drink a little bit more, Chas v'Shalom, you could become addicted. So the pasuk says, see the wine, admire it, but that's it. Don't keep on gazing and focus your attention on it. So you see from that stam yayin is odoim meaning red. So that's why the chatchila you should go and use contribute the red wine at the Seder night. Tanu Rabbanan, Hakol Chayav Marbo Koises. Everybody's Chayav Marbo Koises. Halal. Echad Anoshim men, Echad Anoshim women, Echad Tinoi. Even children. Can you imagine? Children should also have Arba Koises. No, of course they don't have a Chayav, but Alts Chinuch that they should have the Arba Koises. Now the question is, Vosep is why are we focusing on the children? So Shbam says at the bottom, Shagam Heinegalu, they were also redeemed from Mitzrayim, just like the men and just like the women. Af Heino Yubo Yisianes, they were also redeemed. So therefore they should also. Fine, I agree this is an Indian of Chinuch, but it says Rishbam, they're potim in a mitzvah, and also they're not going to appreciate wine. In fact, they're going to say, wine, I'd rather have Kool-Aid, I'd rather have Coca-Cola, I don't want to have wine. So Rabbi Yehuda respectfully disagrees. Instead, machalkin lehen, you want to treat them royally? I got a good idea for you. Go and give them kloyois v'egoizim be'erev Pesach, kadesh liyishnu v'yishalu. Go and give them, today we would say go and give them nash, go and give them something to suck, or to go and have potato chips or whatever. But what they had in those days was kloyois. Kloyois means toasted grain. Rishbam goes to pains to tell us, don't think we're talking about lechem koli v'charmel loy soichlu at etzem ayoy mazeh. We're not talking about toasting newly ripened grain, because then you wouldn't be able to eat it, because you have to wait until the first day of Chol HaMoed, because of the fact that it's still Chodosh. You're not allowed to eat it yet. So Rishbam says we're talking about chitim yishenim, yishonim, old chitim from last year. So you don't have to worry about that. It's yosh. Ve'goizim or nislach. Nislach are nuts. Eat better pesa. Why? They shouldn't fall asleep. Yishalot, they should go and ask the manishtana. Omru olav Rabbi Kiva. She mechalik klois vegoiz l'tenoi. Because he taka had this meaning to go and give the kinderloch to go and eat the better pesach. Kadesh liyishnu, they shouldn't fall asleep. Vishalon, they should ask all the shaylis. They should be up and attentive to the Seder night. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Samyachim. Tomorrow, once again, 7:40. Hatzlocha Rabba. Have a great day. All the best.
Grain, that's no question of chametz.
It was, they did in a way that it shouldn't be chametz. Is there a shayla matzah? Yeah. You have to be careful. You have to be careful about the toasted grain. What?